Friday, October 10th. A date that we have had on the calendar since February.
A date that may live in infamy.
Well, considering the finalist, yes. CJ, how are you today?
Doing all right. Yeah.
CJ, we've been busy, and yeah, you can tell we have a great following for our podcast, because people have been asking me, when is the new podcast coming out?
I never believed you when you said that, but I have probably gotten at least 10 requests for when the next podcast is.
I've gotten requests from overseas, from people who listen to us, so I kept trying to tell you.
I got requests from outer space.
Well, CJ, those are those nights that you eat those things you shouldn't eat.
I mean, yeah, we ate gummy bears. I don't think they're related to anything, but I don't know. I was getting messages from outer space, so I don't know.
So, yeah, it's a big day, CJ. I'm gonna give you a point of interest on this season. You and I were much more hands-off because of just life things that we probably didn't expect.
Yeah.
We really did not manage this group much at all about getting in matches, getting things done, right?
Yeah.
In the back of my mind, it kept niggling at me that maybe there was going to be an issue with October 10th, but here we are. And we have finalists.
Yeah, there are only two matches that weren't played the whole season.
But, you know, those were inconsequential. Yeah. Yes, so I think I actually didn't play one because we were out of it. If you're playing two matches, look, I would think that the Tennessee Titans and the Carolina Panthers, if they had to play a game in Week 17 and they could skip it, they probably would. So, you know, this is what we allowed for.
Well, you know, here's the thing, and it's all how you view things through what frame of reference. The Tennessee Titans, objectively, the worst team in football.
Exactly.
But that gets into the heads of their opponent, as you saw last week with the Cardinals.
Yes.
They'll fumble at the 1 yard line on a breakaway touchdown score. They will intercept a ball, and then they will fumble it back for a touchdown.
Unbelievable.
All because they're like, we're playing against what's like a middle school
team. No matter what. Yep.
And you kind of let your guard down a little bit.
Do you think that's what happened with the Bills against the Patriots?
Maybe a little bit, but I think the Patriots are actually good. Drake May is really good.
I agree. And you know I agree. But I guess my question to you was, is it possible... The Bills had nothing to look like. They weren't looking ahead because they're playing the Falcons this week. So it wasn't like a look-ahead thing. It was a divisional game. They had not played particularly great, and I would have thought they'd be locked and loaded, ready to go. So I'm answering my own question. I don't think it was that. I think the Pats actually beat them.
I think they played well. I think the Giants actually beat the Eagles last night.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Not only beat them, but beat them up. The NFL is a lot of fun right now. There's a lot of new players who are good, a lot of new players who are getting popular. Cam Scadabo he's like such a New York guy.
Yeah.
He's
we have their other New York guy. We have Tommy DeVito.
Yeah. Yeah.
He hasn't played much, and we hope he never does.
We hope he never does.
But, but getting back to, that was an analogy, of course, and you and I always get off track, but in that analogy, we allowed for teams that where it didn't matter to play. Obviously, the only thing we would never want is someone not to play a match that could have anything to do with playoffs. Everything went well. There were no tiebreakers, right? And everything laid out well. Everybody got their matches done. I think a lot of what we did last year to allow for flexibility, particularly in the playoffs where you could play with, you know, just two guys or whatever, and all you had to do was have all eight guys here today, I think all of that worked. So that was great. So, CJ, who do we have playing today? Why don't you announce one team and I'll announce the other. You can choose the one you want to announce.
Well, I keep forgetting the team name of the second team.
Oh, Hassel Rockets.
Well, then you announce them since you just did.
Yeah. So, Hassel Rockets is... And you have the order of when they're going out, correct?
Yeah.
Hassel Rockets is Lee Reynolds.
Yep.
Chris LaCamera.
Yep.
Brian Huff.
Yep.
Or Ho or How or however he says his name. And... by the way, Mike McCleary, who subbed in, I don't know if you know this story, subbed in for Dave Heat Lyons, who moved, as you may know, and his teammates didn't know it. Like, Dave got Mike to sub in for him and forgot to tell his teammates.
Well, you know, I mean, I think the rumor mill is that Dave move to avoid playing in the Gavi Cup matches because he was so nervous about them that, you know, even through all of his intensive Air Force training, through, you know, the missions he flew, through the people he trained, that this was the most nerve-wracking thing in his life.
Are you making this up, or is this true?
Totally true.
You better hope Dave Lyons doesn't hear this.
Sorry, Dave Lyons. I'm editing this out if I know how.
He could stealth bomb you at any time.
Oh no, he could telepathically mangle me from Oklahoma. No, we miss you, man.
Yeah, Dave Lyons.
We miss you.
We had a legend come through the door, yeah. And we had him on a podcast one time, if you remember.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say, like, the cool thing here is that, so Hazel Rockets, yes, they were a 4 seed. We did not have chalk in this tournament.
No.
Hazel Rockets, 4 seed, made it out of the top bracket. They beat the James Gang in the semis.
Yeah. James Gang was feeling pretty good about themselves, I gotta tell you.
And every hole counts as a 7 seed. Slipped into the playoffs. 7 seed. Their last match to get into the playoffs was against my team, and it was a grind of a match. They just pulled it out. I would go so far as to say that given that outcome, we're probably the number 3 team in the entire league. We finished 0-7-0.
Good job.
But
not much behind me.
probably the third best team in the league.
Yeah. Okay, good, CJ. I'm glad you think that way.
Yeah. So every hole counts as the other team. That is Pastor, Rindo, St. Jean, and Connell. The pairings are...
Well, let's say Tui. No one knows him as Connell. Tui. Yeah.
LaCamera and Reynolds going against Rindo and Pastor. Group one. Group two, St. Jean and Connell against Howe and McClary.
So what... that's a curious... I understand the pairings on the Hazel Rockets. I would have thought that Rindo and Pastor would split up, but it... Who is the second best golfer of that group? Grindo's obviously, I mean, Pastor's the better golfer, the best golfer, but then who's second in that group? Is it Rindo? Or is it, it can't be St. Jean.
They're all, so Pastor, I mean, coming into the year, Pastor was a 7, St. Jean, Rindo, and Tui were all within a stroke of each other on index. So.
Okay, so then no matter how you do it, it doesn't really matter. Pastor and Rindo know each other's games better, I guess. So
what's your early call on this? I mean, this is what's amazing is they're similar handicaps. So
yeah.
LaCamera came in as a 7, and then everyone else is in the 13-14 range. So here's
my thought on if you're in this situation and you got to figure out your pairings and all of that. In this case, it sounds like it almost doesn't matter. But there's two schools of thought, in my opinion. Either you put together one super team and hope that you beat the shit out of the other team enough that your second team doesn't lose by more. You follow me? Or you split everybody up and you try to keep both matches close.
So I put this into the model.
You have an AI thing?
92% of the time, these matches ended in a tie, and there's a playoff.
Oh, my God. How classic would that be?
So
the problem is it'd be dark by then.
More likely than not, we're heading for a twilight playoff.
A twilight playoff. So let's go over
those rules real quick.
I was about to say, let's make sure we're clear that playoff would be selected two people two people, sudden death, based on with shots on the card. I assume we would end up going off one, but we would have to work with the pro shop where it's something's open.
Pro shop's call.
It would be ideal, in my mind, and I assume you would agree, that we could choose a hole where there are no shots, but it sounds like in this scenario, with the first hole being number 9 handicap, there wouldn't be any shots on that hole. Off the low man. No one's getting 9 shots.
As long as these handicaps haven't moved too much, we're looking at
4 or 5?
5, 6, maybe 7.
Yeah, so then you would want to go off the front, not the back, so you could go off a 9. Then you would hit the second hole and there would be shots.
The only people this really factors into are LaCamera and Rindo, or LaCamera and Pastor, so they may choose to not play the playoff hole so that they're not given a shot.
All right, so let me ask you this.
Because they're gonna need to submit their names to an objective party.
That's what I was
going to
ask you.
Before they know the hole they're going
out. So they're going to have to tell us, and as third party, it's Rindo and Pastor going out, and the other team says it's this and this, and then we have the card based on that.
Here's a question for you. Why are we even doing the first part of why are we even doing the first rounds? It's going to end in a tie. Why don't they just do sudden death?
Just the one whole playoff right now?
Yeah.
Not even bother playing the match?
Yeah.
If they want to do that, that'd be fine. If you know, if it were yesterday, I think they might offer that. I played yesterday. It was freaking freezing yesterday.
It's pretty cold out there now.
It's better today, believe it or not, because yesterday we had a lot of wind, and today we don't have the wind. But are you playing today, CJ?
No.
Okay.
I did play last weekend in the Hatchet, which was fantastic.
Yes, the Hatchet was fun. You didn't hang around much. Did you hear about the Hatchet? Did you hear about Saturday?
About the playoff?
No, about the Hatchets. So,
I know about the Hatchets.
They actually got real hatchets.
I know.
And some guys in the lounge were starting to use them as tools. Probably not in the best... and the best possible usage. And so during that time, and realizing that there's now an appetite for hatchet use that I didn't know existed at this club, I went on Etsy. Do you know what Etsy is?
Yeah.
And I got a hatchet target that is going to replace your golden tee in that corner. So we can do hatchet throwing.
Oh, perfect.
Isn't that great?
Well, given the degree of damage the screen is taken on golden tee.
We may not even move the golden tee.
Why not just use that?
Well, I think my thing could go right on top of it.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, I haven't gotten it yet. I guess at Etsy, did they actually make them? I don't know. It cost $25.
Yeah, so I got, this reminded me of, so my anniversary was last month, my 16th wedding anniversary, and I, Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec?
Yes.
Very Ron Swanson, my gift to my wife, who's gotten into wood carving the last couple of years.
I wonder why.
So I got her, I was imagining myself as Ron Swanson, I got her what any red-blooded American woman would want for their anniversary, a knife made of Damascus steel.
Wow.
To carve, yeah, to make her carve. She does really cool carvings. She carved like a wizard for Luke for like his birthday. She makes little figures for him, and like she's making a chess set for her dad. That's cool, man.
Like, that's great. So if ever someone finds you murdered and the murder weapon was Damascus steel,
you know where
we would know.
Yeah.
Who did it? And I'm not dismissing that as a possibility.
She was talking to me this morning about that, how she's learning the locations of all the critical arteries.
Yeah, that's
you know,
good.
So I don't know why she should be researching that.
No, it's always good to know those things. But anyway, yeah, so we're going to have hatchet throwing at some point. That'll be fun.
Perfect.
Now, interestingly, if you won the whole thing, you got a really big hatchet.
Yeah.
It's like really big.
Yeah, but it's great that that's
if you just won a flight, you got a little hatchet. So we're going to only use the little hatchets for the hatchet throwing.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that Crooker's going to be responsible with the big hatchet.
Oh. I don't know if you heard. But Crooker had a party that night. And it went late, and the cops came, and he answered the door with the hatchet attached to his waist.
Wow.
So they had to just tase him on the spot. They put him down.
What?
They tased him on the spot. He had a weapon on him.
Are you serious? This actually happened.
No, but I wish that happened. Oh, yeah.
because this comes into... This actually, I was at a friend's house last night, and they were showing us the remodel they had done a couple years ago in their kitchen and stuff, and... This guy's telling me, he's like, so this, we're like the 6th, 7th owners of this house. They're doing the remodel. They did a lot of demolition before they did it, and they got down into the studs. They found, legitimately, the contractors found a machine gun, an AK-47, in the walls of their house.
That's amazing.
It's been hidden during Prohibition or something. Who knows?
Well, do they know how old it was?
No idea. I don't even know if AK-47s were around in Prohibition. But, so he called the cops and said,
yeah, I have
a machine gun.
Yeah.
Can you please come get it?
Yeah.
Cop shows up, comes to the house. He looks, there's like cops behind the house ready to go
in. Oh, so they had.
Just because they're like, there's a gun there. Like, we got to go check this out.
They're not going to screw around with that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Like, they were like,
five
just
cars.
You know, if you had walked out with that gun, we would have had to like take you down and like arrest you like on the spot.
So.
It's fascinating.
I guess I never told you this story. When I first bought my house, we very lightly renovated the master bathroom. We removed what they had for the sink fixture underneath. What do they call that? The wooden part underneath of the sink and all that. And in doing that, and the guy who was going to construct it said, look, demolishing what's there, you should do that. That'll save you time on me having to do it. It's really easy to do. As I was doing it, I found a handgun strapped to the top of the fixture right below the sink. A handgun.
Yeah.
And I immediately called the cops and said, I have a gun here. Now, they only sent one cop. They weren't too concerned, I guess, because it was a handgun. But, you know, I don't have guns in my house, and that was unbelievable.
So
it probably happens more than you think.
We're talking about guns more than I thought we would. So my cousin is coming out
next... Because we started with axes, and then we migrated to guns.
Well, my cousin's coming out next week to visit, and so he's a retired cop. In Michigan, my grandfather in his will left me a gun. It was my grandpa fought World War II, D-Day all the way through Berlin, and during that time he captured an enemy weapon, a pistol mm-hmm. from a German captain. Mm-hmm. And so he has this German gun, he has this cool certificate of enemy capture. And he left it to me, but I was in college when he passed, so I wasn't gonna bring a gun on campus.
Right.
And so my cousin has had it for all this time. He's like, well, I'll bring it out to you. And he called me yesterday. He's like, this isn't happening because I was going through the whole transfer of ownership process. And in Massachusetts, he said it's the most restrictive state in the nation. The gun has to be in a database. The model has to be in a database to do the proper transfer. Well, this model is not in the database. So,
Of course it wasn't.
It's a 5-year felony to transfer this to you.
Oh, my God. Well, who would be the felon, him or you?
I think probably... But it doesn't matter. He's like, I'm the former cop. If I go to federal prison, not good for me.
That's not going
to
be good, no.
And I was like,
see, Jake,
federal prison not
federal
good for me.
Federal prison won't work well for you.
I don't think it'll go well for me either.
Some bad news for you.
So he's going to keep it. The guy was like, how do I transfer this to him? He was like, wait till he moves to another state. He's going to keep it. But he's going to bring me the certificate of capture, so I'll frame that, put it up in my basement or something.
That probably you can do without a felony.
Yeah, that... Probably prefer not to have a gun in my house, 7-year-old.
I don't blame him. Or the potential of going to jail for 5 years. I think in all the wise choices you've made in life, CJ, that was one of them.
Yeah.
So anyway, getting back to the guns. So we came up with it. I mean, you're on the golf committee. I don't know if you'll remain on the golf committee, but we thought next year we could do the AK-47 Classic.
Perfect.
And, you know, we'll just escalate from there. At some point, maybe we can do the Tank Classic, like we still haven't gotten our tank ride from
still haven't done it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Why we thought, since we've opened this up to weapons, we might as well just go all the way.
Yeah.
All right? So we're going to see how that goes. Bring that up at the next committee meeting.
Yeah, smart.
All right, so back to where we are. We'll put an email out when we're done here to let everybody in the tournament know that, you know, at hopefully 6 o'clock, there will be a celebration here like we have had in the past. Now, it could be a lot of fun. We'll have winners. I should also announce, I have been very lax on getting the money out there, which, of course, you know, everybody's been worried about because, you know, I might run away with $40,000, but I got to start sending the money out. I did send one group their money, and obviously, as you do it through Venmo, it gets clogged up and you have to wait a couple of weeks. So I promise everybody who's owed money, you're going to get your money. I just got to focus and do it. So there's that.
Yeah, you have a job now.
Yes, I actually am busy.
Yeah.
And might even gonna give a shameless plug, CJ, so how do you like that?
All right.
On my own podcast. So that was that. CJ, we're done with the season except the Gold Cup is coming up. Are you playing in the Gold Cup?
No.
Okay. Why not? You can bring a guest.
When is it?
It's not this weekend, but next weekend.
I'm going to Florida to golf.
Oh, nice.
Not to Jupiter.
Okay. This Sunday is the Cornish Cup shootout.
Are you in it?
I am in it. Oh. CJ.
Is Garrow in it?
My friend, my finger quotation marks friend, Brian Smith, who I complained that he has now become the high handicap pander. That's what I call Brian Smith, the high handicap pander. Everything we do now, some high handicap wins it. And the Cornish Cup is set up just for that. So I'll do the best I can, CJ. I'm coming in as the lowest handicap of the 10 guys.
Well, let that be a lesson to you. Don't grind on the range. Don't go to the chipping area.
I don't, just and I don't. Thank you. Yeah. I didn't even do that much this year, the chipping range, which I do like to do. I did chip in yesterday,
CJ.
I chipped in from 12th hole yesterday. Nice. That was nice. But yeah, so Cornish Cup will be 9 a.m. Sunday morning, back nine only. You play it out, and you get a winner. And I think there's $1,500 in place. That's back from the $50 a guy you collected about 5 years ago, and yet they're worried about me and my money. So, yeah, so there's that. CJ, burning question.
Yeah.
Are you coming back to Neshadtok next year?
Sure.
All right, I'm gonna call that a no answer.
Okay.
Are you contemplating not coming back to Neshadtok next year?
Like, at all?
Yes.
Like, just never coming here? Never.
Well, no, I'd like, I mean, I would always have you as a guest, but I'm talking about not being a member in good standing. By the way, what would the golf committee do without you?
Probably they probably have shorter meetings.
Is that right? Do you filibuster these?
No,
meetings?
I don't filibuster. No, in fact, I will say, everyone knows Justin. Justin is a fantastic golf chair. In fact, Justin, if you're on a Zoom meeting and you haven't chimed in for a while, he'll be like, "Hey, guy on Zoom, what do you think about so and so?"
He's keeping everybody engaged.
He's keeping everyone engaged. He's putting ideas out. He's accepting ideas. He's taking feedback on his. He's doing a fantastic job. And the reason the events have been great are because he's driving them. He's gathering feedback. He's getting feedback from the committee, from other members. So he's been getting some great props for this. He's been getting applause. He deserves all of it and more. Justin has been awesome. And everyone should just take a moment and shake his hand and thank him, because he's been incredible.
Yeah, I would say that just bringing back the invitational format to the Hatchet tournament. I mean, some big thrill on the Hatchet thing, I have to admit, but the tournament itself was fantastic.
But I mean, that was a good thinking outside the box of how to reintroduce this format into the year, when the constraint really is as many people want to play in the invitational and the biggest event as possible. Right. The format needs to be a certain way in order to facilitate that. And so, hey, there's another big member guest event. Yep. We'll put it out there this year in the form that it is. It may grow.
All right. That's awesome. So I'm going to share one thing with you, though, that maybe Justin doesn't even know. That is the only problem with this format, is that you have to have a very specific number of teams. And you always have someone that bails last minute. And this year, I don't know if you heard.
I know.
Two people bailed the night before.
I know.
And interestingly, it was two guests, but the members still wanted to play.
Yep.
And someone who knows a lot of people found the two guests for the two members.
Great.
The day of.
Perfect.
Okay, you don't seem very impressed by that, but whatever.
I mean, you just have to anticipate that with stuff.
I know. My point is, in the format we have with the regular invitational, that doesn't need to happen, because you can have uneven numbers of teams and flights and things like that. So it's just, you know, that's one of the reasons why I think the pro shop was happier with the invitational format, because he literally had, forget the two people that bailed the last day, he had people that bailed that week. And, you know, I've always told him, make sure you have a full list of waitlist people who are like, I will play day of if you need me. You know what I mean? That's hard to find sometimes, but there are people out there like that. Okay. So anyway, but it was a great tournament. Shout out also to Bend Pacific, because the course is just in ridiculous shape.
Ridiculous shape, yeah.
The second day, as you know, I was told they were rolling at 12.9. That's what they stimped it at.
Quick.
This course has never played at 12.9, ever.
It was quick.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, and beautiful, and awesome. And it's not just the greens, it's everything. So, that was great. I thought that the, you know, the spring member, what they call that thing, the River Cup?
Yeah.
Isn't that what that was, you know, they didn't do anything differently, but it just felt more important.
Yeah.
The point you made about the dismembered guest, the hatchet thing, was that the four-man four ball, which it replaced, was starting to lose steam. And I don't know why, but it's four guys playing as a team together against the field. One of the things with that is you can't make a lot of money because you're splitting in four, right? And guys do like to make money. And so it was great to pick an event that was kind of on the downside anyway and you know, try something new. But here's the best part. Now if everybody prefers that invitational format to the one we do in the summer, you now have your field set for next year. You're opted in. I assume if you played, you're in, correct? Isn't that the way we'll do it? And then the only way you'll be able to get into that tournament is if someone drops, which is exactly what the invitational used to be until we had all these complaints from new members that they couldn't get into the tournament. So you've actually accomplished three things. So I agree with you on Justin and the way he ran things. And I think that maybe I just wanted to put some color into how deeply those things mattered, you know? So, good all around. I thought you guys did a great job. The events were better. I still get disappointed, TJ, and I know you don't participate in it. There doesn't seem to be as much hype over the club championships as there are in other clubs. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's when we do it, in the middle of August? Or do you think because it's an individual thing, it is what it is?
If I think of playing competitive golf at Neshadak, I think of team golf.
Okay.
So I think it's a little more, and there's a lot of team golf. I mean, you just mentioned the River Cup, the Invitational, the Hatchet, the Neshadak Cup, the Arrowhead Cup, the Twi League. Yep. I think it's very team-centric. There should be individual events.
Well, the President's Cup is individual.
I think that might be part of it. That's my first thought. I haven't put any thought into it right now.
I do think that has some. I think when we do it, hurts interest because it is in the middle of August. And like you said about we're getting beyond post-COVID, well, before COVID came along, August was like a dead zone here, you know, because everybody was, it's those couple of weeks before school starts and everybody's out on vacation and all of that. So I think that started to become a thing again because August was pretty dead here. And then the individual aspect of it maybe, but I do know at other clubs, like when they have their club championships, everybody's buzzing about it, and that's not the case here.
Yeah, the first thing I would look at is how many team events they play. I mean, you know, this tournament, the McGavick Cup, it takes up a lot of time and headspace for people. Well, I'd say for a lot of people, it's their main event for the year.
But interestingly, CJ, with this tournament, the way we designed it, if you want it to be a big part of your life, you can.
Yeah.
Make it be. But if you only want to play in one match, you can do that too.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people did it. If you were to ask around of the 25 teams, there was probably, like I know at my team, I played maybe, we only played seven. So I probably played five of the seven. Yeah. So but I had the time, right? But there are probably other teams where we know a lot of people where a guy only played once.
Yeah.
So I think that it lends to that flexibility. I do still think that there's a ton of interest in it. I think people love something that, you know, continues on over the course of the season. So we'll see where we go from there with our tournament. But the only other thing I had for you is there has been, and I'm not as good a golfer as someone like Jeremy Mead or Andrew Lilly or those guys, but there has been some talk among the better lower handicap golfers that they just don't want to play in a lot of these tournaments because the tournaments are really truly set up for the high handicappers to win. And the solution to that is when you have a tournament, you have one gross flight and it's opt-in. If you want to play the gross flight, you can.
I play, all right, it's been a few years, but I played in this tournament in Minnesota, Labor Day Classic, with my invitational guest Boyer, with Barron, some of our other friends. You're flighted based on handicap. It's individual. You're flighted based on handicap, but in your flight, you play gross. So you could be a 14 playing as a 12. You don't get shots. And that's actually pretty awesome.
Because the handicaps are tight, I mean, because the flights are tight enough where there's not much sway between the
Well,
what if you have a flight where one guy is a scratch and the other guy's a 12 and they're in with a bunch of sixes?
There wouldn't be that flight, but
so you wouldn't allow that?
I mean, it would be, it could happen that, I would say it's more likely to happen that you have a flight of I think the flights are eight people. Yeah, it's eight. So you might have seven who are like a six, and then you're the last guy that comes in like an eight. But so you're not going to get like a 12 in there. But you just, you're tougher.
Well, you play gross. But all right, so what about this? What if we had a tournament? You know how we, you know how in the Nishada Cup, this may go away, but I think it is that way now, where you have to at least be a combined 18 so that a guy like Jeremy Mead can play as long as he's playing with an 18. You know how that works?
So we had talked about doing Nishadok and Arrowhead as, like, you talked about this year. You're like, I just want to play the gross.
Right.
So we had talked about doing
opting into
you
the
opt
gross.
Into the gross.
Right.
Or you opt into the net.
Which is fine.
Some guys make the gross and they'd rather be in the net.
In the net.
So you sign up for both and like...
Right. But I got a new idea, CJ. What if you had a tournament where the only teammate you could have is within two index points of you, and then you can play gross because you flight according to the teams?
Great.
Do you like that idea?
Yeah.
Well, we have that next year. Could that be the AK-47 Classic?
Could be. Like, I think, you know, as with anything, it's worth discussing. And
we could
out.
Call it the McGavick Cup, but I think that name's already taken. I mean, I've named that tournament after myself long ago.
Well, you named that after your dad.
I did, but nobody knows that.
After you.
It'd be nice. No, it'd be nice. I would like to have a tournament named after me.
Be like, which McGavick Cup is it?
Right.
That would get confusing. Be like, it's named after the asshole. They'd be like, you've got to be more specific.
Why, CJ? Why? Okay. Anyway, that was good. That was we have now closed down the season in one conversation.
Well,
we talked about the only disappointment, CJ, is sitting right behind your head.
Yeah, that's why it didn't go great this year.
No, it did not.
Yeah.
I think you guys overthought it.
No.
And I think it did.
No.
I think it did.
No.
Okay.
No. I would say we put... This year, we probably put less thought than we did the last 2 years into it. We just kind of followed the same recipe as last year when we did great. I know that early in the season... It was one of those years where you go, you play against the other club. The other club's like, "Oh, I just had the best round of my life."
Yeah, I know. It was a lot
over
of that.
And over again.
It was a lot of that.
You're coming back from these matches, and we have guys shooting the 70s who don't shoot in the 70s that much, and they're losing by five. And you're like, "What is going on
here?" We had one demoralizing match at I forget where we were, but it was some godforsaken place, and they had terrible dinner and all of that. And we went around, and we had probably the best team of golfers that I've ever seen assembled at a TWI, and we each lost by no more than one or two. And at least four guys from that group said, "Yeah, I haven't played that well in ages." I'm like, "Really?" Well, you know they're lying, which is probably what it is, and they're all a bunch of sandbaggers because some people really care about winning this fucking thing. Excuse me with the language, but or it just really was one of those years. It does happen.
Yeah, and that's and. In a tournament that's played at net, I'll say the only thing that gets fishy to me is when the same team, the same club makes the playoffs every single year.
Yes.
Mathematically,
it should never happen.
It should never happen.
No.
You should be making the playoffs
well,
once every
team
4 years.
Always makes the playoffs. Concord.
So I went to my chiropractor like a year ago, and he's like, "Why is your back all messed up?" I'm like, "Well, it's because of golf, you know." I played some leagues and stuff. He's like, "Oh, you play in this, play against other clubs some." And he's like, "Oh, have you ever played against Oakley?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Man, no, yeah, we yeah, have. I have guys from other clubs coming in. They're always saying how they cheat.
Yeah, they're a bunch of dags. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. So that they're the notorious ones. Like, I have no proof of this. It's just so doesn't look great.
But you know what happened 2 years ago? We had. I mean, I remember just. Me and whether it was Ange or whoever I played with, we had situations where we beat our opponents by like 7 or 8, and I don't think we ever had one of those from anybody all year long this year. Yeah. It seemed like
I think teams were putting their better players out against us too since we were playoff
because we were a playoff team. Yeah, maybe that happens. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. Anyway, so you're gonna have to tool that a little bit, CJ. That's I mean, hopefully, if you guys all survive, I mean, there should be an oversight committee for the captains when they have a poor year like this, and maybe we need to, revamp.
There's been some turnover.
Yeah, and clearly there has to be. So, but thank you for getting that big. That big Northern TWI plaque. That I don't know what we would do if we had to add to it, but I guess we can figure that out later.
Not a concern currently.
Well, that's good to know.
We'll figure it out if we win one.
Well, let's see.
My dream has always been this: win the TWI, put up the plastic all over the locker room, champagne celebration, like just like
that'd be great,
like win the World Series.
I think you have to actually win it first, though. I think
you have to win
it.
You can't just do it because you feel like you got to win a title.
Okay, she's right. Well, let's work on that. What else? There was something else I wanted to bring up. I can't think of it now.
Okay.
Have you had a good year, CJ, overall?
Yeah.
We're getting to the end.
Yeah. It's been a great year. Great year.
Good. Glad to hear it.
I won't go into it. I'll just say it's been an awesome year.
That's good.
Yeah.
I know that you've picked up new hobbies, and I think that's fantastic. Yeah. So, I don't think I have anything else. We certainly want to wish our competitors today good luck.
Yeah.
Thank you for wishing me good luck in the Cornish Cup. I think for the betterment of the competition level at this club, it's probably best that I win the Cornish Cup as the low handicapper. I think it will just, you know, reinforce that you can be a good golfer and win tournaments.
I think the club agrees.
Yeah, thank you. I certainly hope so. I would buy drinks that day with my $1,500 for anybody who's in the lounge at 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
Perfect.
When the bar isn't even open yet.
Well, it's football season. You can, that's not, totally unlikely.
CJ, before we close, I do understand that you brought your guitar.
I did.
Are you ready to close this out?
Yeah, we picked a song.
We did. Are we going to sing the song?
You're going to sing the song. I'm going to play the guitar.
I thought you were going to give me vocal backup.
I'll give you backup. But you'll be Billy Joe.
You might have
song.
To. I know, but we might have to edit this if it doesn't go well.
It's not going to go well, and we're not editing.
Why would it go well?
Why would it go well? I don't know what you're expecting here.
Well, CJ, I mean, first of all, I will describe this new guitar that you built from dead scratch.
Dead scratch. Hand carved.
It looks traditional.
Yeah.
It's got traditional colors. You strung it yourself, which is amazing, and hopefully the microphone will pick up what I heard in person audibly, which is, it sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it sounds, I'll say this, so this is my first build. I'm finishing number two, I'm working on number three. It's been a blast learning how to do this. If you ever strung up a guitar, you get the strings up to tension, they stretch out, so you have to keep having to wind them up. The thing I wasn't prepared for fully was that the first time you string up a brand new guitar that was just built, the wood has to stretch out too. So as you're stringing it up, I was thinking about like what it must be like to be in a submarine that's going under into the depths of the ocean. You start hearing all these creaking,
bad
stretching.
But I get
it's a little nerve-wracking.
Well, certainly has come out. It looks absolutely beautiful.
Thanks. Yeah.
So let's do this, just so people can hear it. We're going to do the last couple of words of a Green Day song. But before we do the singing part, which we will close with, I want you to kind of riff it two or three times so people can hear the guitar.
All right.
That's beautiful. It's beautiful. It sounds fantastic. I don't know, again, like if the microphone's going to do it justice.
I don't know.
But it sounds fantastic.
We'll find out. We'll find out when we publish it without listening.
I don't think we do the singing. I think we finish with that.
You definitely do the singing.
I don't want to do the singing.
Do the singing.
All right. Go ahead.
You're going to be a Cornish Cup champion. You'll do the singing.
You're gonna nod your head when it's time for me to come in.
All right.
I'm not good with this live stuff. Something unpredictable.
Oh, yeah.
Ah.
After this one.
Right. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
You did a good job.
Congratulations,
yeah,
CJ.
What a great year.
Beautiful guitar. Finally, our fans are happy.
Yeah.
Sign us out, CJ.
Peace, love, and reciprocals.